Good morning, everybody, and to those on live stream. It's a beautiful day. I have a subject that I feel I'm to talk on. That subject is common to everybody and that's out and around right now, but it's called the gospel. It's the words of the Lord. It's the teachings of the Scripture. It's the Bible and Book of Mormon that we get our understanding from. It's the love that God has for the children of men, that He caused those Scriptures to be written to edify us and teach us of Him, His Father, know the way to eternal life. That's why they've been written. That's why they've been handed down from generation and generation of time, so that we would know, so we wouldn't be out blind, but that we'd recognize the light that gives us the vision to know the truth, because the Scriptures tell us that the truth is what makes us free. And how important those things are, and we have to come to an understanding that through those Scriptures, we find that He caused to be written, that He doesn't change, not even a shadow of changing. In fact, in some places He says, I am the Lord, I change not. We find in the Scriptures where He says, you know, that He doesn't walk in crooked paths. But He verifies those things that's essential for the welfare of our soul, so that we would know, so that we would understand and believe. And I know that there's a lot of difference of opinion in the world. I understand that. I understand that they have problems, and they have a lot of things that come to us, and one thing and another. I realize that, because we have a world full of people that believe in Christ. We have a world full of people that has a hope in Christ. The only thing is that they haven't been properly taught the truth. When we look at the world, and if we want to go to the things that we have to study from today, we have to be careful, because a lot of it is written and directed by man and their thoughts and Satan. That's how come the Scriptures are so essential and so important for the welfare of our soul. We find that man decided through Satan's direction to change and to alter the Scriptures. And he has. He's changed and altered the Scriptures in many, many places. It has to do with a very important welfare of our soul. Very important. And so it's important that we understand that He has caused some books to be written, edified. Some of them have gone through a lot of changes. When you go, if you go down to a bookstore and you want to buy a Bible, well, you got a lot of choices. Many, many, many of them have been changed and altered so much. It's hard to understand and to know, to be able to sometimes proclaim. You ask somebody, usually when I'm teaching or I'm talking, and I'm preaching, I like to have people take me and follow me with the Scriptures, because I want them to read it so they know that it's not what I think, it's what the Lord thinks. I'd rather have them read it and know that that's what the Scriptures say, not Hugh Yates, and how important that is. And yet here they change and alter. I carry several books with me in the motorhome when I'm traveling. different Bibles that teaches different things continually. Like if you wanted to know, if you went over like in Romans 16:16 in your Bible, it says salute one another with a holy kiss. The Church of Christ salutes you. And if somebody's teaching opposite of that, they're teaching out of order, maybe I ought to read that. Because it's really important to understand. And he says how, why they're teaching that, and he tells you about that. And it's also not only in the Bible, but it also tells you that there's things that's being taught and what's being taught, because there's scriptures in the Book of Mormon that tells you even what they're to call the name of the church. And a lot of the world don't know that. They think the Book of Mormon teaches opposite of this Bible. The Bible, the proper Bible. Not all the changes and alterations. But he tells us this, I'm going to read it to you, Romans 16:16. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offensive contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceives the hearts of the simple. How about that? How about that? You know a lot of your newer Bibles? Did you know that it says, shake hands warmly, all the churches here send you their greeting. Did you know that? Did you know that that's what the New Catholic Bible says? Did you know that the Old Catholic Bible says salute one another with a holy kiss, the churches of Christ salute you? Did you know that? Did you know that they have changed and altered the Lord's Prayer and deleted from it where it says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever? Did you know that I carry a Bible called The Way that was preached by a brother that thought he was doing the best he could? Billy Graham. The Bible that I have, he's got a letter in the back of it, how neat it is. Did you know it reads word for word like the New Catholic Bible? Shake hands warmly, all the churches here send you their greeting. Did you know that throughout your Bible where it says that Christ was preaching with authority his doctrine, that the word doctrine is deleted? Did you know that they changed the Lord's Prayer and throughout when it says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever? You know, it's essential. The doctrine of Christ is essential because that's what he has caused to be written to teach you and I and the world, and that's all mankind. Anybody that has ever graced this earth and will so has the seed of Adam. And he came for them. Everyone. Now whatever anybody wants to say about race, creed, or color, or whatever it is, every one of them has been created by Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father. He's the only one. He breathed the breath of life in them. He's directed them. It's like when the scriptures tell you there, if you went over to Jeremiah, the first chapter, and he was talking to Jeremiah, and he said, Jeremiah, he says, did you know that I knew you before you was in your mother's belly? Did you ever think about that? Does the world think about that? Do the people that's teaching Christ ever think about that? Or are they wanting to take little children, the babies, and destroy them, the life that God the Father sent? You know, I got here late today, but I got into a certain amount of discussion that was brought out here. Some of that discussion I was supposed to speak on today. I was going to talk on it. Because the scriptures are specific on the way that's essential for you to go live, that you want to go live with him and his Father. He doesn't beat around the bush. He is very direct and open. And yes, they had changed and altered the scriptures, but not all. There are many of the scriptures that are very valid and direct and open and just come just direct and out. And I want to start maybe in Galatians for a moment. I want to go over to Galatians. And I want to go to the first chapter of Galatians. If you're following along or whatever. And then in the first chapter, I want to start reading. For brevity's sake, I want to start reading about the sixth verse. I'll probably read through about the 12th. He says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ and to another gospel, that they were following the decisions of Satan and man and of the world, and not the one that created the world or created the man. We're here in this old world, and they're doing it now, and they're aborting babies. They're doing all kinds of things. Incidentally, while I'm there, what little bit of discussion I heard this morning about those who commit adultery or those who are homosexuals. I'll tell you, brother, when the court of United States says that it was right for them to marry, there was supposed to be Christians on there. The scriptures are very specific about that. Very direct. And so I thought I'd write them a letter. But I was told I was wasting my time. And I am, because we're going that way. This nation has begun to fall away from the Lord. And you know, why do we say that? Do we say, they say they believe Christ. They say, oh, we got the Bible. Well, what does the Bible say? In the New Testament Bible, he talks about that and he says, hey, he says, you know, what you're doing, it just says women with men and women with women and men with men. He says, which abominable before me, thus saith the Lord. And if they don't repent and change their ways, they're going to hell. Did you know that the scriptures covers those things very specifically? The young people here, they hear trash and they see trash and you see it in the news. You see all kinds of things. And they're not teaching the gospel of Christ, the way to eternal life. Do they teach you, and when you listen to that, do they teach you that the scripture says no unclean thing can enter into the kingdom of heaven? Did you ever think about that? No unclean thing can enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's something that we need to think about very seriously. Where are we and what are we doing as an individual? Each one of us are subject to our own salvation. And I say that because that's the truth. Nobody can do it for you. You're the only one that can do it. The scripture says that he has caused sufficiently to be written to teach us the way to eternal life with God the Father and Jesus Christ. But you can be out and you can teach it, you can do it, you can do whatever you want to, and of no avail. Because it has to be. How many times I see brothers and sisters here that's been out and talked to people or friends or kids or children. Yeah. Talk to them and visit with them about the Lord. How many times when you told them about the Lord and what the scripture said, they were mad at you? They're not going to listen to that. You know, for them to work out their salvation, it's in their ballpark. They have to do it. You can't do it for them. And I say that, you know, and people say, well, what right do they have to talk? What right do they have to do this? What right do they have to say that? Well, that's just a book that's written and nobody knows anything about it or anything like that. Well, let me tell you something about that book that was written. And the individual that caused it to be written. I know he is. I have seen him. I have had him talk to me. I have had him show me a vision. I have had him tell me, I have need for thee to teach. Well, let me tell you something. A lot of people say, boy, that guy thinks he's better than anybody else. I don't. I think that I have a responsibility. I think I have a responsibility because I know he is. I've seen him. And I know when I'm out teaching the gospel that what I teach and what I tell them is true. I know that. That doesn't mean just because I saw him I can't make mistakes. Read the scriptures. Was there people that ever saw him that made mistakes? That doesn't mean that you're better than anybody. But it means you have a responsibility to try to tell somebody of an individual that loves them and created them and has a hope for them. It has the hope for him to come and live with him and his Father. That's what it tells you. That's just exactly what it tells you. It tells you that he has provided a way for each one of us in the world and those who are yet to be born. He has provided a way that we could come and live with him and his Father. You know, it's all out, and you read and you talk to people, you know, and they look at you and smile and everything. And you know, when you're talking to somebody, if they're going to receive anything, it's because the Spirit of the Lord come down. I can't convince anybody of anything, but the Spirit of the Lord can. But I want you to keep in mind that those of us that have received the Spirit of the Lord and been baptized and received the gift of the Holy Ghost, that you can deny it and lose your soul. There's a requirement, and that requirement is to live the life that he has prescribed, to walk in it. That's what it's about. There's a lot of people that might know that Christ is, but whether you know that or not, if you aren't living it, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. That's why he's caused the scriptures to be written to edify us and say, you're to do this and you're not to do that and you're this and you're that. That's why he caused those things to be written. Just exactly like parents in this room. What do you think? The scripture says you're responsible for teaching your children. Well, when you get after your child and correct them, is it because you hate them or because you love them? and you don't want anything to happen to them. Yeah. That's what we find in the scriptures. He corrects us. He corrects us away from the things of the world that was sponsored by Satan, that we'd know where to go and what to do, and that we could follow after him and be blessed. Even in this physical life, we can be blessed and strengthened and protected. Yes, because he's there. It depends on you and I whether we want to yield to him or if we think we know more about it. Is there anybody in this room that feels like that they can take the place of God the Father or his Son? If we want to go live with him from all eternity to all eternity, the scripture says we obey the commandments of Christ. God the Father sent him. That's why when Christ was teaching, it tells you that it's only through him that you live, because he's the light. And without the light, there's nothing but darkness. That's what he tells us. That it's through him that we live. Not through ourselves and not through Satan. Because the scriptures that is constantly be written, called the gospel, also tells you that if you go with Satan, when the time comes that he comes and there's the resurrection, and at that resurrection, well, you know, there's a decision made after that 1,000-year reign. And you know, in that decision there in the 20th chapter of Revelations, did you know that he tells you that Satan is going to be cast out and those that went with him and cast down forever? Huh. Did you know the scripture says there's no way for him back because he has rebelled and against Christ and God the Father from the beginning? That's why he was cast out of heaven with a third of the host of angels, according to the scriptures. Now I'm saying that rather than looking it all up because of my time. Because of my time, I'm trying, but if you want, we can go through it. We can go through it because the scriptures verify those things, brothers and sisters, so that you and I don't have to take my word for it or somebody else's, but we can take the word of Christ and God the Father to know what's required of us to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And that, I mean everybody. That's your mother, that's your father, that's your children, that's your grandparents. That's everybody that ever graces this earth are going to be under that law. That's why he tells you over there in Revelations, that's why he tells you over there in the 20th chapter of Revelation that when that time comes, that all come before him and they stand and they be judged. And he tells them, he says, and the books are opened. And another book is opened, which is the book of life. And the dead is judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works, how they applied them to their life. Whether they lived them or whether they didn't live them, whether they decided that the world had more fun and everything else, that the books are opened. We are going to be judged out of these things that are written in these books. Do you realize how important young people, those of you that are busy there, old age, grandparents, do you realize how important it is that you prayerfully study these books to know what's required of you? Are you doing that? Is that most important to you, or just playing the games that you carry with you all the time? Is that more important than your soul's welfare? It's important that we realize that he has caused and preserved these words for us. not only for us here in this room or what we'd say the Church of Christ, not just for that, no, but for all mankind, for everyone that's going to grace this earth. He has a hope for them. He has a hope for everyone in this room, from the youngest to the oldest, because we're His creation. He breathed the breath of life in us. He's the one that caused these things to be written and to direct us so that we would know and come. And you know, both these books teach the same gospel. I know that the world thinks opposite of that. I know that the world thinks that there's a lot of difference there. And you know that the Book of Mormon is against the Bible and everything. Did you know that the Book of Mormon didn't go through the hands of the Catholic Church and all the changes that came with it? Did you know that? Oh yes, it's been changed some by the Mormon Church. Yeah, it's been changed by the Mormon Church. That's why the world thinks the Book of Mormon is against the Bible. Because the correct teachings of those things aren't always there. Like the original Book of Mormon that was printed, the Palmyra edition, there was a copy of it sent to the Library of Congress. If you want to know what that Book of Mormon really taught, go to it. It hasn't been changed and altered all over the place. In the Book of Mormon that I'm reading from, if you went to the first chapter, like if you went to Nephi, you read through Nephi, you got 7 chapters. In the Mormon Book of Mormon, you go to 1 Nephi and you got 22 chapters. And that's the way it goes through, as well as the changes to different praises and names and words. I know that he was reaching over for his book there. Evidently, from the looks of it, it's a Palmyra edition. Yes. I carry that Palmyra edition with me in the book of, in the RV, because when I meet people and they say, well, the Book of Mormon says this and says that, and I tell them, no, really, the Book of Mormon didn't. It's been changed by the Mormon Church, by people that were altering things that they wanted to believe, that they say their prophet taught, that was teaching opposite of the Holy Scripture. That's what it has. That's what it is. And when you get into it, did you know that, did you understand and did you know that when the Book of Mormon was originally printed, did you know there was no verses in it? Yeah, it was just chaptered. It was just chaptered. Did you know that the brother that was touched and moved by the power of God, that brother that translated by the direction and the power of God, he that translated the Book of Mormon and brought those things forth, did you know that when they killed him in 1844 that he didn't have a copy of the Book of Mormon that they got printed today? His Book of Mormon didn't have any verses, it just had chapters. How about that? That it just had chapters. Let me read to you about the history just a little bit. In 1878, the Mormon edition printed by Orson Pratt for a European edition, he increased the number and shortened the chapters and paragraphs. That's history. That's history. In 1892, well, we'll find that the LDS came out, the first, and they did some altering and some changing. But the chapters was the same, just like the Palmyra edition. Did you know that? That's why maybe a lot of people that would be interested in knowing the truth, they think that the Book of Mormon is teaching against plurality of wives. Yes, it does. It don't preach for plurality of wives. It teaches that a man should have one wife and one wife only. You've been talking about some of that. And concubines he shall have none. Yes. You know, the scriptures, brothers and sisters, that gospel, the very word that's going to judge us when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we have at our disposal today. Are we really interested enough to study it and to believe? If you do, you know, like I told you, I've seen the Lord. I know He is. Wherever I go, whatever anybody wants to say, or whatever they decide they want to do, they can't kid me one out because I've seen it. I know there's people in this room that has had so many spiritual witnesses that nobody can tell you or tell them that there isn't a Lord. I see two brothers here and three brothers here that I know of that's been into Africa. Some of them just come out of Africa. You know, when I went to Africa with Brother and Apostle Brickhouse, when I was working there, I was taken up to a local to preach, and I was scheduled to preach there that day. Dwayne? That happened to be at Brother Moses' place. I'd never been there before, didn't know the people, never saw them before. And so I was scheduled to preach, and Brother Moses was my interpreter. And I began to preach, and about halfway through my sermon, the Lord told me there's a sister there. That was deathly sick. She needed to be administered to. So I stopped preaching. Buzz come over and said, "What'd you stop for?" Moses come over and said, "What'd you quit for?" He says, so I told him. Moses said, "Well, what's her name?" I told him, I said, "You know, this is my first time here. I don't know what her name is or anything else, but she's sitting right by that window right there." They went over and she was deathly sick, brothers and sisters, and they brought her forward. And they administered to her like your scriptures, like your gospel of Christ teaches you in the Bible and the Book of Mormon. They administered to her and she was immediately healed. She was immediately healed. And went back and sit down, and I finished preaching, and when it was over, they usually feed you something. And while I was standing there, that sister came up and she said, "Oh my goodness, I need to thank you so much that you did that." And I told her, I said, "Don't thank me, thank the Lord. I didn't know you were sick. I didn't know you from anybody. You thank the Lord because He's the one that says you need to be administered to, and He's the one that blessed you when He brought you forth. He's the one to thank for that." That's something that sometimes we have to understand, that He hears us and He blesses us. You know, if you go to your Bible, when the Lord was teaching, He says, you know, He says, it's talking about little children. You know, the ones that they kill today? Like? Little children. He says, it's those little children. He says, you know, their angel beholds the faith of my Father daily. He says that, doesn't He? Yes. Did you know why I was there? We blessed a little tiny guy about that big. While we were blessed him, an angel came and held him. Does the scriptures tell you the truth? If they're trying to verify the way to eternal life, or they're trying to tell you that where you have a desire to resist Satan, where you have a desire not to have anything to do with Satan and the teachings, and all the world teaches opposite, but Christ in the beginning has taught us of the things that would cause us to fall. He says, you're not supposed to use his name in vain. We're not supposed to lie. We're not supposed to commit adultery. We're not supposed to murder. We're not supposed to steal. He's gone through a whole list of things we aren't to do so that we would know what's required of us that we could enter into the kingdom of heaven. Yes. How about that? You know, I wanted to tell you that Louise and I was grocery shopping. We were grocery shopping at the store. And we were there, and you know, the neat part about that is that they pass out different things for you to taste and everything, so you buy it and all that kind of stuff. And of course, Louise was walking around and everything, and it's been weeks ago or whatever it is, and I was supposed to stay off my foot because I had a hole in my foot and the top of my toe was off and all kinds of nonsense. And I was going in a little cart, and I stopped there. And I stopped there where they were passing out little cups of popcorn. And I stopped, you know, and I got a little cup of popcorn, and I was sitting in front of where they passed it, and while I was sitting there, an elderly lady come up to me. And she had her daughter, and she had her granddaughter with her. And she come up, and she said, "Are you getting ready for the rapture?" And, you know, and I didn't know her from Adam, and she certainly didn't know me, but she's trying to say that the Lord's going to come. She's trying to tell you those things, but she hasn't been taught what the scriptures teach. The scriptures tells us that those things there, he says that, that when he comes, that's something that you and I aren't going to know. He says, you know, not even the angels of heaven will know. And he says, I don't know, only my Father. So you have a world of people that's setting everybody up for the rapture. I can remember history when they did that here, I think in Arizona, down in Tucson. And people sold their houses and everything else because the day was fast approaching, the Lord was going to come. They need to read the scriptures because nobody knows when that's going to be. We know the things that's going to be prior to it because we're fulfilling prophecy today and we're seeing that today. You've been talking about some of that in the Sunday school. We're seeing the fulfillment of those things that he says was going to take place. But the day and the hour that the Lord is going to come, only God the Father knows. That's scripture. You know, there's so many things that's so direct, brothers and sisters, and so open, and comes out that's fantastic. Like I said, for brevity's sake, I've shut down. I haven't cause to read them. But there's a whole list of scriptures that covers just a little bit of things that I said this morning so far that are scripture. You know, gospel, if you went to the dictionary, the word gospel, it means good news or good story. That's what it is. I know they have difference of opinion in different languages, and I know sometimes people have problems with languages and one thing and another. I understand that. But But he says that he comes to teach all the world, not just Phoenix, Arizona, not just America, not just Yucatan or Africa or the Philippines or Honduras, that they were to teach all of them, is to go to all the world. That's what he says. That happens to be Chinese, Russia. That's all kinds of people. People that we're about ready to fight. Yes. That's what that means. That's what we have. But it's to be, maybe I ought to read that. Turn over to the 24th chapter if you're following. Go over to the 24th chapter of Matthew. And that's when the apostles went to Christ. And they were asking, when is your second coming? And he told them, he says, don't be deceived. Don't let anybody deceive you. He says, that day of coming, he says, isn't going to be now. And he starts that. I'm going to start for brevity's sake. Maybe there in the second verse of the 24th chapter. And I'll read some there. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things, verily, that I say unto you? There shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Ye shall see and see that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass before the end is, and the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these things are beginning of sorrow. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel, that's what we've been talking about this morning, and this gospel shall be preached, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. You know that all the world, in all nations. You know, let me tell you something. He also says that there's going to be false Christ, doesn't he? Have you seen them? I have. Many years ago, there's one came through Phoenix. All this wasn't out here then. No, the place wasn't even built up like it is. We rode horses across this country and drove horses. No, it wasn't. But the guy come through and he said he was Christ and he had followers. And my dad says, well, he wanted to talk to him. Well, my dad is the same thing as I am. I'm an evangelist for the Church of Christ. My dad was an evangelist for the Church of Christ. And he said he wanted to see him. So they finally gave him opening to see him. And my brother Jim and I went down to see with him. And I was just a young lad. Oh, I might have been my early teens. But we went down and we sit down on the couch. And there was a great big curtain there. And all of a sudden, here he come out behind the curtain. Boy, here he came, and I looked at him, and you know, I wasn't my dad, but I immediately knew that that was not Christ. He was wearing glasses. Can you feature Christ having to wear glasses? My dad began to talk to him, and he got him all tied up, and boy, he had to go. So he left. That man went over to California and he was pulling the same thing and teaching the same thing, and they killed him and his followers. The things that he has caused to be written in those two books are dead on. We better wake up to the fact that he's loved us enough to preserve them, and then he's loved us enough to say, and you're going to be judged by them at the last day. Those books are going to be opened up, and what those books say that we're to do and not to do, it's going to come on us. And it's going to judge us. So what is one of the things that I wanted to bring out today? I wanted to bring out the fact that it's important for us to study the Scriptures prayerfully. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. It's important. That's the most important thing in your life. How many of you know you're going to be here tomorrow, that you're not going to get killed going home? Those of us that think, well, I'll just wait. The Scriptures tells you there's some to say, well, I'll wait, and as time goes along, when I get old, why, I'll repent and come in. But, you know, did you ever think the fact that the Scriptures also tells you that, I don't know how many people are here right now, but the Scriptures tell you he knows just exactly what you're thinking. He knows what your thoughts are right now. He knows what my thoughts are. He knows what you want to do. That's why they keep record. And you know, I said that, you know, it depends about the Spirit, you know, that if you have the Spirit, why, you know, things can happen. You know, I think I've bore testimony before, and I'll bear it again today because it goes with the things I'm to bring out. I've been called out to administer to the sick. And when I was administering to them, I felt the Spirit come down and flow into them. I got brothers in this room I know has felt the same. But brothers and sisters, I've gone and administered some, and I felt the Spirit come down and stop in my hands because they were rebellious. They didn't want to hear. They didn't want this. They're not, what are you doing? Mom said I had to do this, or whatever the case may be. You know, that's something for you to think about. That's something that we should have, that faith. We need that faith. We need that desire. We need to have that hope. You don't get it by doing nothing. They were reading about making a living and stuff there today. They were talking about it and one thing and another. It's just like the gospel of Christ. If you want to know him, study. Pray. That's what's essential. You know, after 4 years in the service, when I came home, I was cowboying out there for my dad out of Cave Creek. And I was shoeing a horse. And I was visiting with my dad, and you know, when I was in the service and on the ship, There wasn't any churches. When we tied up in different places, if I could get off and I wasn't on watch or something, I'd go to a church, and a lot of times I left hungry. One of the places we tied up, there was a reorganized church. They believed the Book of Mormon. I thought, boy, that's a good place to go. And I went there. And I was visiting with my dad about that. And I said something. He said, whoa. He said, where'd you hear that? He says, hey. He says, put that horse's foot down. Take your shaps off and hang them in that mesquite tree and come up to the house with me. So I did. He says, sit down here at the table and I'll be right back. Pretty quick, here he come back and he set before me the Bible and the Book of Mormon. He says, now read these two books prayerfully. Prayerfully. And if you read these two books prayerfully, he says, I'll see you at the Church of Christ. There's no other place to go. Well, you know, that's an odd thing, and people sometimes don't believe it, and they have a hard time, and they think, well, you know, there's a lot of difference, and there's a lot of this, and there's a lot of that. Well, you know, we read over there in Romans 16:16, he says, salute one another, holy kiss, the Church of the Christ salute you. And those that are teaching opposite of that, they're not of him. They're trying to fill their belly. Well, I wonder what the Book of Mormon would say about that. I'm going to go over in the 12th chapter of the third book of Nephi when Christ was on this land after he was crucified. And I know that there's a lot of you know what I'm going to read, but he was working with his disciples that he had called on this land. And you get down there, and about in the 12th verse of the 12th chapter, and it says, it came to pass that they did do all things, even as Jesus had commanded them. And they which were baptized in the name of Jesus were called the Church of Christ. Wow. Did you know when I was in the hospital and I was getting this pacemaker, did you know that I was up in the hospital laying in the bed and I was trying to go to sleep and I couldn't do it? And the Spirit started talking to me. And I was asked, where do you find in the Bible and the Book of Mormon where the church is to be called the Church of Jesus Christ, the Latter-day Saint? Where do you find the Bible and the Book of Mormon where the church is to be called Lutheran or Episcopalian or Catholic or Baptist? Where do you find in the Bible and the Book of Mormon where it tells you that there was a presidency over the Council of Twelve? Baptism for the dead, sealed marriages. All the scriptures stand out against those things, brothers and sisters, direct. Direct. Have we been studying it? If somebody come and say, oh, well, come on, let's go do this. You know, it helps to know what the scriptures say about those things. Because you're not so easily convinced if you believe. You're not so easily convinced. Now I want to read the rest of some of this. It tells us there, he says, I'm going to start again now in the 14th verse, and it came to pass that as the disciples of Jesus were journeying and were preaching the things which they had both heard and seen and were baptizing in the name of Jesus, it came to pass that the disciples were gathered together and were united in mighty prayer and fasting. And Jesus again showed himself unto them, for they were praying unto the Father in his name. And Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said unto them, what will ye that I shall give unto you? And they said unto him, Lord, We will that thou wouldest tell us the name whereby we shall call this church. For there are disputations among the people concerning this matter. And the Lord said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, why is it that the people should murmur and dispute because of this thing? Have they not read the scriptures? Which saith, ye must take upon you the name of Christ, which is my name, for by this name ye shall be called at the last day. And whosoever taketh upon him my name, and endureth to the end, the same shall be saved at the last day. Therefore, whatsoever ye shall do it in my name. Therefore ye shall call a church in my name, and ye shall call upon the Father in my name, that he will bless the church for my sake, and howbeit my church save it be called in my name. For if the church be called in Moses' name, then it be Moses' church. Or if it be called in the name of a man, then it be the church of a man. But if it be called in my name, then it is my church. It should be built upon my gospel. Bingo. Brothers and sisters, these scriptures, this gospel, this book that we have, has openly taught those things. Direct. Where the world teach against, opposite. If we get into the Bible, if we get into the Book of Mormon, he tells you that there's a calling for the priesthood, and those men that's been called here, they can verify that because they've had a witness themselves of their calling. And it also says in the mouth of two or three witnesses. I know when I was called, there was even some even that was in Canada, apostle in Canada, that wrote and said he had witness of my calling. And then he goes on and he says that those who are doing that, that when you take an individual down in the water, the scripture says you're to call them by name, telling them, having been given authority of Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Yes. And how important it is. And that it should be by immersion, not sprinkling. That it was to be by immersion. You know, there's so much there. There's so much there in the scriptures that helps you when you're around in this world today, whether you're at church, whether you're at work, whether you're at play, whether you're at school, wherever you're at. Those two books will give you a foundation where it's harder for Satan to overcome you and to teach you false doctrines and have you follow the way of the world and lose your soul. That's the way of the world, is to lose your soul. That's what it amounts to. That's what happens. Did you know that the Book of Mormon, and I'm not going to go to it because my time is gone, but do you know that the Book of Mormon tells you about these two books? That there was a book that the Jews wrote? Yeah. The Book of Judah and the Book of Joseph, and they would be one in his hand and one in their eyes, and they'd have the gospel. And it wasn't going to be altered and changed. That's so you and I can know the truth. So the people that come along and say, oh, don't worry about being baptized. You don't have to be baptized. Just believe and you're saved. But both books tells you if you aren't baptized properly, he says you're damned. What about that? Do you believe the books or you believe the world? That's something that we have to ask ourselves. Which one do we want to believe? That tells us, he says, these things which are teaching not of me, but the Father which sent me. How he sent you and how important they are. How he sent you and how important they are. I want to read a scripture. I want to go over on page, if you're following me, it'd be page 695 in the Book of Mormon. And there, it'll be in the first chapter of Mormon. And I'm going to start in the 85th verse. He says, in these things does the Spirit manifest unto me, therefore I write unto you all. And for this cause I write unto you, that ye may know that ye must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, yea, every soul who belongs to the whole human family of Adam. Who does that leave out? And ye must stand to be judged of your works, whether they be good or evil, and also that ye may believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. That you may believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're going to be judged whether you're good or evil, that means you had to know the law. That means you better study the scriptures prayerfully. You better know what's required of us. We better be directed by that Holy Spirit that wants to direct us to God the Father and Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. And Christ tells us. He says, you know, he says that Holy Spirit, he says he teaches those things. He says, whatsoever I have commanded. That's important. Did you know that the books tell you, that the Bible and them tell you, that you don't have that Holy Spirit unless you're properly baptized? Did you know that? Are you recognizing the fact? You might think you're something, but when that Holy Ghost is teaching you, when you're praying and studying, then you come to the knowledge of the truth. Yes, he has loved us to the point that he's caused those things to be written so you and I could know, and we didn't have to guess. We wouldn't have to say, well, you know, I don't know whether that's so or not. Well, I'm not sure that wasn't some right. Because after all, you know, we came from Grellas anyway. Did we? Is that why he says he knew you before you was in your mother's belly? Is that why he said, follow thou me and do the things you see me do? Is that why he directed us so much in the Holy Scripture, brothers and sisters, to edify us, to teach us, to warn us, so that we could know the truth, so that we would recognize that truth? No. It's important that we know that throughout the Scriptures, he says it doesn't change. Throughout the Scriptures, he says you can't add to or delete from these books. Because these are the ones that tries to teach us what we can do and what we can't do so we can go live with God the Father and Jesus Christ. And these books are going to judge us at the last day, whether we like it or not. That's how important it is. That's how important it is. Brothers and sisters, I have other evidence. I have other evidence. This is just the beginning, and I haven't even gone into this yet. This is just the beginning. That's why he caused those things to be written, because he loves us. He loves you. And children, I want you to know, when your parents get after you, you think they get after you because they don't like you? Or do they get after you because they love you? Did you know that the scripture says that if the mothers and them hold the rod of iron and not correct their children, they must not love them? That how important it is as parents or grandparents or whoever you are, how important it is to teach the gospel and to teach your children to know the Lord and have a desire to follow after him. Because that's what's going to save your soul. There's nothing else going to save it unless you live according to he has asked. Just that plain and just that simple. You know, it's an odd thing that we think, well, they couldn't understand. You know, we send our kids to school so they can learn the 2 and 2 is 4. They can learn all kinds of stuff. We have a Sunday school classes here so we can teach the children to know Christ. So we can teach the children what they're to do and what they're not to do so they can please him. Because he tells us, as you see, and we have sickness, and we have diseases, we have operations, we have all kinds of stuff. But he tells us, you know, that this flesh and blood that you're looking at, this house is where your spirit lives in. And those scriptures tells you that this flesh and blood can't enter in the kingdom of heaven. But the spirit that lives inside of this house can. That's important for you to know. And we go to doctors and we go to all kinds of things. We have a doctor spiritually. His name is God and Jesus Christ. That tries and tries and tries to heal us. So that we be whole. Because of his love and mercy and his desires for us to come and to live with him. How important that is. May God bless us to that end, is my prayer. Amen.